Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading at verse 23 and then read through verse 31 of this chapter. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. What we hear now is God's Word. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together, against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God with boldness." Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. Well, we continue tonight a story that actually began back in chapter 3, the story of Peter and John and the healing of the lame man. We saw that after that healing, they were called to account by the council for what they had done. They were brought in, and they had been healing and teaching in Jesus' name. The council took note that although they were unschooled men, they had been with Jesus and recognized the authority that seemed to come through their preaching and their action. The council finished by warning them not to speak any longer in His name. It was the first time, in Acts chapter 4, the first time we see really an official a persecution of the New Testament Christian church. And that story continues tonight, what happened afterwards. And we get, again, another glimpse into the life of the New Testament church, how they responded to this first exercise of persecution, as a picture of what they did, as instruction for us, how we should respond to difficulties around us. And they responded, we read, by spending time together in prayer. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God. The church at prayer. We have already seen in the book of Acts a couple different New Testament sermons. And they give us somewhat of an insight as to what the sermon should look like, both for them and for us. Here we get a picture into the New Testament church at prayer. And perhaps to help us to conform our prayers more closely to what God would have us pray. For we have here the inspired word of how they chose to pray and to respond to the difficulties that were coming against them. It was life-giving for them. It's instructive for us today. They prayed, "Sovereign Lord." They began by acknowledging God as the sovereign God. Now, we use that word sovereign, and we understand something of what that meant. The word they actually used here is despotic Lord. When we think of a despot, we think of someone who rules harshly, someone who is a difficult one to have as a ruler. But what it means is someone who is all-powerful, someone who is in control. They begin by acknowledging God as sovereign Lord, as despotic Lord, because he is the one who is in control of all things. God's sovereignty. When we think about defining the Reformed faith, people say, what does it mean to be Reformed? Depending on who asks, one of the answers I will sometimes give is, it is a firm belief in the sovereignty of God over absolutely everything, over things that take place in the world, over things that take place in the church, even over my own salvation. God is the sovereign. God is the one in control. In their prayer, they highlight three areas of God's sovereignty, three areas in which he exercises his power and his control. God is the sovereign of creation, God is the sovereign of revelation, and God is the sovereign of history. Sovereign God, sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They begin by acknowledging God as the Creator God, as the one who made everything that they see around him by his power. It was his work that creation came into being. God spoke, God said, and it happened. Creation and a firm belief in God's creative power is an affirmation of his sovereignty. He is the God of heaven. He is the God of the earth. He is the God of the sea. All the realms that we experience in creation, the heavens and the earth and the waters, God is sovereign over all of them. There is no place where his power is thwarted. But he is the sovereign God over all creation, the Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God is the sovereign over all the realms and over all that they contain. The one who truly is in control. They were experiencing persecution. It looked like the powers of the nations might be in control. But they pray, Sovereign God, we acknowledge you as the one who is truly in control. We acknowledge you as the one who has the power to answer our prayers. If you could make, Lord God, all that we see around us, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all they contain, certainly you are powerful enough to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. That's why we pray to God. Because he is powerful enough to hear the prayers that we pray and to answer the prayers that we pray. Prayer is not simply a crutch for the weak, but prayer is a petition to the Almighty, to the Sovereign, to the one who has all power to answer from all of his majestic glory. We pray because God is a sovereign God, the Creator, a God over creation. They say, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. They recognize him as the sovereign God over revelation. That God is the God who not only reveals himself in creation around us, but revealed himself more clearly and more fully in his word. And we talk about the two ways God chooses to reveal himself. We learn something about God in creation. We learn that God exists. But to know who he is and his way with his people, we need the revelation of his word. And they recognize that too is an exercise of God's sovereignty. That his power saw clearly beforehand what would happen. that he was still in control. This was not taking him by surprise at all. But God had prophesied beforehand through David, his servant, by the Holy Spirit, exactly about what was taking place in their midst. Why do the Gentiles rage? The peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers are gathered together against the Lord, against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. They recognized that they were living exactly what the psalmist was talking about. They took Psalm 2 on their own lips. They prayed the word of God to him, acknowledging him as the God of revelation, the God who knew exactly what was going on. And they saw that this applied to Christ and how Herod and how Pontius Pilate and how the Gentiles and the nations gathered together against him along with the people of Israel. They saw Scripture as an evidence of God's power, of God's sovereignty, that years before, God would speak through his servants, the prophets, of what would come to Jesus Christ. We read this morning, actually we sang this morning from Psalm 22, and it struck me once again as we sang that psalm how beautifully it applies to Christ on the cross. If you haven't done that, go back and read Psalm 22 again. It's striking how years before the psalmist could write just what Christ would go through on the cross. An exercise of God's sovereignty, of his power, that he is the God of revelation. They applied the scriptures to Jesus Christ and recognized then that the plotting was in vain. God was in heaven. God was in control. He who sits on his throne laughs in derision. Yes, it seemed that the nations were coming against the church, but God still, the sovereign God, the God in control. He's the God of creation. He's the God of revelation. He's the sovereign God of history. What do they pray? These nations gathered, they say, verse 28, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Amazing. They got together and they gathered to do what your hand and what your plan had predestined. God, the sovereign, is never surprised by what takes place in history. God never says, I didn't see that coming. Couldn't have imagined that might happen. But even in the persecution of Jesus Christ, his anointed one, they were doing what his hand and what his plan had predestined ahead of time. God is still in control. Even with this persecution of Christ and now spilling over toward the church, they were reminded he is the sovereign Lord, the all-powerful God. It is that same God whom we pray to today. He is still the sovereign over history. If you are going through difficulties in your family, if you are going through difficulties at work, if you are going through difficulties in any part of your life, it is no surprise to God. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your struggles are. And you can, with firm confidence, pour out your heart to him. Sovereign Lord, God of history, you know what's taking place. You know what's happening. A prayer of confidence, a prayer of assurance, a prayer of trust, knowing that God is the sovereign God. What did this church pray for? They acknowledged God as sovereign. powerful over creation, powerful over revelation, powerful over history. Verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak with boldness. I'm struck by what they don't pray for. They don't say, Lord, look upon their threats and stop them. Look upon their threats and the persecution that we anticipate and take it away. They don't pray for God to remove the difficulty and remove the hardship. They had a sense that to declare the name of Christ, they would expect to be persecuted. They would expect difficulties in life. They would expect others not to understand. They don't pray, Lord, look upon their threats and stop the threats. But they pray, help us. Grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Give us strength under the difficulties. Give us strength under the hardship. So many times I think in our prayers when we face difficulties, hardships, trials in life, I know for me, my first instinct is to pray, Lord, take the trial away. They prayed for strength through the trial, recognizing that God was working out His holy plan. God was working out His perfect will. And Lord, when that holy will and perfect plan doesn't seem to match up what we think should happen, and when it looks like persecution is coming against us, Lord, make us strong. Make us bold to speak your word with boldness. To declare that even in trial, God is still in control. He is still sovereign. Sometimes God's way is through green pastures. Sometimes God's way is through the difficulties of the sea. And so we pray that God might uphold and strengthen us to continually declare His name, to continually speak the truth with boldness, that whatever He sends, good times or bad times, He is still God, our God, the sovereign Lord, the one in control. I visited with an elderly saint a number of years ago, and as he was facing the frailties that come with old age, he became very bitter towards the world and bitter towards God. I visited another elderly saint a number of years ago who faced the infirmities of old age, and he continued to declare of God's faithfulness. In spite of the frailty that he felt and his body giving away, he would declare, God is the sovereign God. He's still in control. He's still working His purposes out. Oh, that God by His Spirit might give us that grace as we face difficulty, as we face trial, as we face tragedy, to pray, Lord, strengthen us that we might still boldly declare your name and your word. Their concern was to speak the truth about God in spite of what was going on around them. Grant us, your servants, to continue to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Continue to do signs and wonders, they say. We know you will in Jesus' name. And that should be our prayer today too. That God continue to work signs and wonders. Not the signs and wonders that we expect from Pentecostal-style churches, but that God continue in Jesus' name to bring people to confession of sin and to knowledge of Him. That is a sign, that is a wonder that God is at work, that He is active, that He is present. Do we expect that? Do we pray for that? That God might bring into our midst those who do not yet know Him and yet under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus Christ, that they fall on their knees in repentance. Do we pray that as a church God might do that wondrous sign and wonder in our midst? That as Jesus and His name is proclaimed, we come to recognize our sin. Once again tonight, Jesus Christ is placed before us in the text. God's anointed, God's chosen. If we are still at enmity with Him, if we are still those who are raging against Him, then the call of the gospel goes out tonight. Repent and believe. Fall down before Him. He is the sovereign. Acknowledge your sin. Look to Jesus Christ for your salvation and know the glories and the power of His name as He works signs and wonders in your life. And changes hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. They prayed that God might work powerfully and that Jesus' name might receive the honor. You read in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. As they pray, the place where they gather is shaken, an evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence. Now, perhaps we don't expect God to actually shake the foundations of the building today. But we certainly should expect that His power is present in His Holy Spirit and that we are shaken by what we hear tonight. Shaken out of perhaps our complacency, shaken out of our laziness to go out and declare the name of Christ. We have once again sat at the feet of Jesus. We have been with Him. What will it take for God to shake us and move us to boldly declare His name? Do we expect that? Do we anticipate that as we come to worship? That God, by His Spirit, might shake our hearts out of their slumber and bring them to a life, to a vitality of living with Him, walking with Him, and boldly declaring His name. That's what they prayed for. They prayed, Lord God, give us boldness. And we read, they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. He answered exactly what they had asked for. And He answered immediately. Sometimes in our prayer life, we pray for things and God doesn't answer right away. And it's easy to come to expect that. That I'm going to pray, but God's going to answer sometimes later. We're reminded in Acts chapter 4, they prayed for God's word to go forth, for them to be the church He had called them to be. And immediately, He answers their prayer. Do you feel like God isn't listening? That He's not listening? That the answer might be far off? Perhaps we have to ask ourselves, what am I praying for? Am I praying for God's glory? Am I praying for the blessing of Jesus' name? Or are our prayers a list of things that we would like? God, give us this and this and this and this, and give it now if you don't mind. When we pray, what God's desire for us is that the church declare the word, He answers immediately and with the power of His Holy Spirit. That's instructive for us today. Are we praying for what God wants in our lives? Are we praying that we more and more conform ourselves to His holy will revealed in Scripture? Or is it a grocery list of things that we want? When we pray what God wants for us, it may be that exactly like in verse 31, He answers immediately and with the blessing and power of His Holy Spirit. The church at prayer. We still, as a church, need to pray to God today, both individually, as families, and corporately, to acknowledge who He is. The sovereign God over creation, over revelation, over history. And to pray that God would help us to be the church He wants us to be. And to pray that God would help us to keep what He says is important as important. Their concern was to declare the Word of God. That's what the church exists for. There are other things we can do as well. But the function of the church is to declare God's Word to the nations. How much time do we spend praying and being concerned about that? When we place that prayer before God, that we be exactly who He wants us to be, we can have great confidence, great assurance that He will answer. He will answer with His Spirit. He will answer right away. And He will answer because we have prayed what He desires. May God give us that type of devotion in our prayer life to Him. Let's join together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, You are the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You are the God who spoke to us through Your servants, through the prophets, throughout the Old Testament, speaking of the coming of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that Anointed One, that Messiah, our Lord, our Savior. We praise You, O God, for His work. We praise You that He did exactly what Your hand and Your plan had predestined beforehand, including the trials and tribulations in His life. Well, Lord God, give us that deep assurance and confidence that no matter what takes place, even in times of trial and difficulty, You are still in control. Lord God, give us an earnestness and a boldness to declare Your name, to declare Your praises, that You are the sovereign, the one who directs all things according to their ends. Lord God, help us to be the church that You have called us to be. A place where Your name dwells. A place where Your word is preached. And a place where we take that word on our own lips to share boldly with others. O Lord God, grant by the power of Your Spirit that You would hear and answer that prayer. Give us boldness to trust You and to speak for You. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.